Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I've brought Heather Gray back. And it's all because I want folks to really understand what's going on when someone has Lyme or when you have a chronic illness. And the fact that ultimately, it doesn't really matter what your diagnosis is. It's more what to do when you just don't feel good, how to go back to those foundations. So we're going to talk about that. But she and I are also going to be talking about neurological conditions and the impact of Lyme on the mind and how she experienced extreme depression, but also bipolar, was given medications, nothing seemed to work. It's a good story to hear that if you're struggling, you're not alone in this battle. And if you suspect you have Lyme, Heather's going to give you some good nuggets as to what to start thinking about and where to begin. And of course she has her program that she helps folks with. It's amazing stuff. So it's one of the underserved areas of health, and it's an invisible illness, much like chronic pain, chronic illness that's undiagnosed. And so a lot of times I will have folks who have chronic illness think about seeing someone that coaches for Lyme, because maybe you have Lyme, maybe you don't. Who cares? All of it is a baseline of an immune system that's trashed and needs some help. So if you know someone that's struggling, maybe you are, this is a good podcast to listen to for that. But first, let's get in a word from our sponsors. One of the best things you can do to improve your health is get at least 7 hours of quality sleep every single night. I know, it's hard to get that much sleep. Your mind keeps you awake, you're thinking about things, you get uncomfortable, you wake up early, and you just can't fall asleep again. There are hundreds of reasons why you can't get 7 hours of quality sleep every single night, and I've probably at least told you 100. But hey, listen, it's super important because your body heals itself when you sleep. And if you're not getting enough quality sleep, you're increasing your risk of disease and making it harder to lose weight. Yes, weight. Would you like to know an easy way to get more quality sleep every night? Make sure you're getting enough magnesium. Believe it or not, around 75% of people don't have enough of it, which helps explain why so many people have sleep problems. Unfortunately, most magnesium supplements are not full spectrum, so they won't fix your magnesium deficiency or help you sleep better. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, sleep-enhancing effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed, and you will be amazed by how much. Hey, health junkies, welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I have Heather Gray back on again today. And today we're going to be talking about the psychology of change and really what it takes to go, okay, I have a diagnosis or I'm just not feeling well and I know I need to change some things. Where do I even start? Because I think so many people, especially with Lyme, especially with, you know, more chronic, like, oh crap, this is pretty serious kind of stuff. We're like, all right, step one, I know I have it. Now, step two, what do I do? So where in this process, like tell us a little bit about like, how did you start wrapping your head around like, okay, I need to figure something out here.
What an amazing question. This is so deep and so beautiful. And a lot, actually, what I'm going to be covering on my webinar that I'm doing this, you know, coming up week on like 5 reasons while your Lyme treatment is not working for you, right? Because I found in my experience, and that's part of the reason why I put the program together the way that I have, is that if you don't address things, or if you address things out of order, mm-hmm. it can cost a lot of time and a lot of extra money that's unneeded. So it does get overwhelming, and it does help to work with somebody who's been there, done that, and you know, a professional that can peel back, okay, do you have issues with mold? Okay, check, not check. You know, do you have the history? Do you have metal in your mouth, right? Mm-hmm. How are you sleeping at night? What does your detox bucket look like? What's your thyroid look like? So there's so many different little layers that absolutely need to be peeled back one at a time. I always start with diet, with everybody, just because you can't supplement your way out of a bad diet. You can't exercise your way out of a bad diet. Like, diet is key. And even in with that, there's nuances, right? Of how do I start and when do I start? And oh my God, I can't eat anything. You know, that's like the biggest thing I get told by most folks, like, what do I eat? But once you get over that initial like fear and drinking from the fire hose and you take it, you know, you just wind it back a couple steps, you know? So I tell people, like, for the first week, I want you to take out corn. Let's start there. First week, corn. Second week, grains. Third week, dairy, right? Then by the end of that month, you've kind of got a good little foundation underneath you and that you can continue to tweak from there. I had to relearn how to talk to people in this manner because I'm kind of a rip the Band-Aid off type of gal. And I'm like, I go all in all at once. And yes, it does overwhelm me, but for some reason I'm able to push through it. But I'm working with folks that just are a little bit more sensitive, a little slower paced. Like, once they get into overwhelm, especially their nervous system, and they get into fight or flight and freeze, right? And then they can't move forward anymore. Yeah. So I've really kind of had to tone back my balls to the wall, come on, type of mentality and move a little slower, especially with these folks that have been, especially with Lyme, because it's so complicated. And just get, because this is a marathon, right? Not a sprint. And so I was always treating it as like a sprint as well. And then I would burn myself out and I would relapse. And so everything that I've learned, it's, you know, in teaching clients now, it's because I've learned the hard way and have spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars more than I should. It's taken me longer than it needed to, just because I didn't have a roadmap as well. And so that's why it's really, really great. So many folks are like, it's just so expensive to work with somebody. It's 10 times more expensive not to, right? Because then you go through and you find out all this trial and error on your own. And that's when it gets really expensive. Like, yeah, this can get pricey, but I mean, what's the options, right? What's your alternative? Lay in bed and wait to die? Like, that wasn't an option to me. So,
yeah. And I think it's a really good concept that you brought up there in terms of it's way more expensive to go at your on your own and go trying to figure things out, do this, do that, that doesn't work, this doesn't work. But having, you know, the information from someone who's done it before. Plus, I mean, prior to this, correct me if I'm wrong, because you've said previously, like, yeah, your diet wasn't that great. And you weren't, because I think a lot of people will see us and go, oh, well, they always ate organic anyway. So it was just easy to switch, you know?
I have a slide in my talk that says, I was a lot like you. I started smoking cigarettes when I was 13 years old. And I recently have only been a non-smoker for 3 years. So very recently did I quit smoking. I was also a hardcore party girl. I drank. I loved me my fast food. You know, I was like diehard. I would go through McDonald's to get their French fries. And then I'd go to Burger King to get the Whopper because I didn't like the Big Mac. So diehard. Loved me my Taco Bell. I drank Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper like it was going out of style. Like, no, this all was very, very recent when I got diagnosed, because I know what it's like to be on the other side. And now this is a gift. I used to piss me off. I used to get into such bad fights with my ex-husband, who, as I was going through this fight for my life, literally, and I'm watching him chug back Pepsis and drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes. And it pissed me off because he wasn't sick, right? He had no health issues at the time. And I just would tell him, I'm like, you are squandering this gift that you have. And it actually makes my heart hurt, right? To see you poison yourself like this every freaking day. Like, it might not catch up to you right now, but it will catch up to you. You're not the exception, right?
Right. Right. And I think this is something that a lot of people are dealing with, is having a significant other, or if they have kids, you know, they have unfortunately taught the kids to eat kid food, right? And there is the things the kids eat, there's the thing the adults eat. And so having this around you all the time, I mean, how hard would it be to be like watching him, even though you knew it was like poison, but like probably some of you is like, oh, I want that Pepsi. Like, oh, I really want, you know, whatever, at least at first.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Even like a year and a half ago, I would make a different meal for me because I tested my food sensitivities and I would make something different, although it was healthy. So there's no non-healthy food in the house. That's one rule I laid down a long time ago, especially with my new husband and my stepson, because they had their own set of health issues. My stepson was on ADHD medications. His face was breaking out horribly, cystic acne. He was crawling out of his skin, up late at night, couldn't sleep. you know, my husband was like 765 pounds overweight. He was having a hard time sleeping, having some other issues. And when we all moved in together, I was just like, I'm the one who cooks. I'm the one who grocery shops. I'm the one that meal plans. You guys will eat what I give you. And my husband has lost, you know, 55, 60 pounds, and he's sleeping 8 hours. My stepson is off his ADHD medications and his face cleared up, and he's no longer crawling out of his skin. So that was kind of a hard ass, because I have a really tough time sometimes when parents are like, what do I make my kid? Well, cook them the same thing you are. You know, you're the adult, act like it. That's kind of what I want to say. But I lost track of what the original question was.
No, how, I mean, just really how hard it is at the beginning.
You know, Yeah.
Trying to get off these things and you've got someone in the house who's still bringing it in, or like you go to a social event. We'll talk about that in a minute, but just having it in the house is.
Yeah. So I would make my husband and my stepson something different than me for my food sensitivities, although it was still healthy. But sometimes I would, like, you know, whine and gripe as I'm giving them something that looks delicious and mine is kind of plain and boring. And my husband kind of reminded me as I'm having my own little pity party at the table. He's like, how many days have you been out of pain? Right. Have you had any suicidal thoughts or anxiety in the last couple of days? And so it was just like those little nuggets, and it snapped me right back. And now I don't have any of those issues at all. Like, most of the time when I look at that food, I see police tape wrapped around it. Like, caution, caution. It's just, I pay for it too much mentally and physically anymore to even play around. It's not even tempting anymore. Once in a blue moon, if I'm out being social, things can get tempting. Walking into a movie theater and smelling that popcorn, because that stuff is made. It's made to be addicting. It's made to be, you know, create those responses in your brain, and to fight them sometimes is really hard. So I have to, like, really plan ahead before I go and, you know, sneak stuff, healthy stuff into my purse that I'm munching on, you know, so I'm not. Right. So I'm not being tempted. Alcohol once in a blue moon, especially like when I'm out salsa dancing, because sometimes I can be a better dancer. I can be a little more fluid, right, if I've had a margarita. But I'm not a total, you know, Nazi either. I try to keep everything in moderation, but I've traded up, you know, so instead of having corn chips, I'll have grain free chips, right? Or instead of having this crappy chocolate bar with all these additives and soy and BS, you know, I'll have a healthy dark chocolate that's organic and fair trade. You know, I don't go without, like, I have dessert still once or twice a week. And, you know, we eat really well, and we don't feel deprived in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's the biggest key to it, is mindset as well, as we focus on what we can eat and stop focusing on what you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes perfect sense. How long do you think it truly took you to kind of go from being like, I'm missing out on these things, to being like cool with it and seeing that tape, the caution tape around things? Like, how long?
You know, that's kind of hard to answer, because I've, like, so back when I started my journey in 2013, I was so awesome for like 8 months and completely turned my life around right after graduating FDN. But then I went through a divorce and I blew up my life, and I went back to a lot of my old ways, and a lot of my old stuff came back. And so then I've just recently, you know, within the past year and a half, been walking that walk. Mm-hmm. And being a practitioner helps me so much, because I do not want to be the hypocrite in any way, shape, or form. Like, it drives me bonkers when I see health practitioners not following the same advice that they're giving. So, you know, I would say probably a good 3 to 4 months after going back through my program this last time, before I really got comfortable in it. And then, it really, every single day that goes by, it still gets even more easier and solid in my foundation. And like I said, to the point where even when I'm out now, I always make sure to, I'm even trying to teach the kids this, like, we take so little time to food prep, right? Mm-hmm. We're always grabbing crap on the fly, on the go, eating on the run, and trying to teach people how to eat mindfully. And when you wake up in the next morning, or even the night before, to plan ahead the next day, okay, what have I got going on that day? Do I need to prepare something to take with me? Or do I need to take something out of the freezer to let thaw? Like, you've got to start thinking of a food prep. You've got to plan ahead. Otherwise you're going to plan to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in your programs, I know you're teaching meal prep and planning and things of that nature. How long do you think it truly takes people on average to hammer down that, really getting the idea of like, okay, I'm and switch the mind? Because I'm just curious on your end. I can share mine too, but I'm just curious on what you've seen in terms of how long it takes someone to really stop thinking about on the go and really be like ahead of the game when it comes to food.
Geez, I think a lot of it has to do with their relationship with themselves and with food to begin with. So I've got somebody who I've been hammering in for 9 months now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ah, and then I get some people who are like within a month and they've got it down, you know, it's like with the food sensitivity, and I'll have people rotate their mm-hmm. diet. So they're not developing new food sensitivities. And I tell them in the beginning, you know, I would make up a 4-day meal plan, and then I would just rotate it in the beginning, right? Because that's all I had the bandwidth for.
Yeah.
And then once things got easier, then I would make a 5-day, and then I would make a 6-day. And then now actually I take that one, I can do a 1 week, and then I switch it to the next week. And then I'm just rotating that. But there is some definitely a learning curve. And I think if you just know that going into it, so it's the same thing when I suggest people to go without toxins, right? Because that's part of the health process as well, as removing toxins from the body. I was a hairstylist for 15 years. You talk about toxins. Oh my God, hair products, beauty products, nail products, like the whole nine yards. And so it's the same thing. I tell, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So even if a year, make that your goal, like in the next year, I want my house to be toxin free. I want to have a good filter for my water. I want to have a filter in my showers, right? So I'm not bathing in chlorine and fluoride. You know, every time you run out of a beauty care product, run out, right? Next time, replace it with something better, something cleaner. Don't go, unless you've got the money and the time and the bandwidth to go run out and change everything at once. It's amazing what those small steps add up to. And it's the same thing with your diet. It's the same thing with mindset. You just got to take the first step.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. So do you typically change the food first, then you go to toxic kind of stuff? Or do you have like a set kind of sequence in which you do things?
So FDN has the Dress for Success protocol. So it's diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplementation. And so usually the stress reduction is the area that I tackle toxins, but I try to do it in that order. So diet being the foundation, you know, rest, sleep, working on sleep. Next, you know, exercise. Are you over-exercising? Most folks are. And, you know, they're trying to lose weight and get healthier, and they're freaking doing all this crazy, 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 crazy shit to their adrenals. And their adrenals are like, dude, we got nothing left in the tank. You got to knock this off. Of course, we're not going to let the fat go because you've stressed us out. So yeah, walking through the Dress for Success protocol.
Okay. All right. One of the things I find a lot of pushback from people when I'm working with change is a lot on, you know, diet, of course, is tough. Then it becomes the movement side of things that tends to be the next tricky area of getting things in. What have you found to be successful to kind of help folks? Or if someone's listening right now and they're like, okay, I really do need to start moving more, I really need to get into this. What would you recommend for them to start doing?
Baby steps. Again, like with anything else, start off with a walk 20 minutes a day.
Gotcha.
You know, do that for a week and then move up to 30 minutes a day and move up to 40 minutes a day. You know, I love Dr. Peter Osborne too. He's kind of got a similar start off with, you know, counting steps, right? Most of us on our cell phones, even we'll have an app that counts steps, you know? And so for one day, shoot for 2000 and then shoot for blah, 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 with your goal being 10,000. So just always start small. Any movement's going to be better than no movement. And again, all those little steps end up adding up over time, and you'll be amazed at what you can do, you know, down the line. Cause a lot of folks with Lyme, man, they're like bedridden. They've been like flat out for a long time. I'm not going to ask you to go do a half hour of CrossFit right off the bat. Like, that's insane. But move, because that's when our lymph moves. That's when we're able to detox. Study said that us sitting at our desks is like the new smoking. Like, how, as bad as it is for us not to have movement. So just starting off with where you're at and making little steps to increase it every day.
I think that's important to mention the little steps, because so many people with chronic illnesses, I mean, like Hashimoto's folks, we're talking, you know, chronic fatigue just in general, fibromyalgia, the whole nine, right? It's all kind of tied in. And sometimes folks with, you know, Lyme also have, as you did, the Hashimoto's and things of that nature too. And exercise is a different ballgame. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of trainers out there that are specialized in knowing what to do with someone that is in this kind of situation. It sometimes can be a nightmare.
Oh my God. I was working out with a trainer back. Shoot. So it was right after I had my kid. I gained a ton of weight, like 100 pounds. I was up to like 250, I think, when I gave birth. And the trainer I was working with, God, had no freaking clue, and put me in with everybody else. But I was undiagnosed at the time. I didn't know any better either, but mm-hmm. I would come into class the next day and I'd ask. It literally felt like somebody took a knife and just cut all my freaking muscles. Like, I understand being sore, but this was excruciating. And I would tell him and he would just be like, rah, you know, kind of looked at me like I was some sort of a wuss, when really I have a ridiculously high tolerance for pain. Most people with Lyme disease do. But I wish I could, I find him and go back and say, if you ever have someone in your class that's talking like this again, you know, maybe look deeper, maybe have them look deeper, maybe meet them where they're at, you know, looking at me and knowing that I'm not just being a wussy and trying to get out of the exercises, right? But I was literally hurting myself every freaking day I was working out with this guy. It was horrible. And so my husband, like I said, so in the last year and a half, he's lost over 65, 70 pounds by starting off by walking. Mm-hmm. That's it. Me in this last year, I've lost 50 pounds by walking. That's it. And then now we've added in some weights. Now we've added in some HIIT training. Now we've added in some, you know, deeper, better stuff, because one, our bodies can handle it, and our adrenals aren't so fried. And we're seeing a lot more success with it. Like, my husband is now the lightest he's ever been his adult life. And he is loving going for jogs. Like, it's crazy. Object in motion stays in motion, right? I got him into disc golf too. And he'll go out and do, you know, two rounds of disc golf plus go on a walk with me. And then now he's doing weights. And I'm like, who are you? But he didn't start off that way. He started off by walking.
Yeah. And I think that's important for a lot of folks to think about, because often be like, okay, I'm gonna make change in my life. I'm gonna get myself a trainer. And as far as I know to date, yes, there are a few trainers that understand chronic illness and fatigue and things of that nature. But to be honest, I don't know if there's a foundation or like a group, as far as I know. Do you know of anything that's like trainers that understand, you know, I don't know what the group
would be. I think Czech practitioners are physical trainers that are trained to understand, but and it's sad. It's just like anything else, our typical Western dogma bullshit of, you know, calories in, calories out. It just, the whole everything, it needs to be dismantled and started all over again. I had a client recently who was so excited when she started working with me, but we hadn't got to the exercise part. And so she didn't know what was coming. And she's like, I went and hired a trainer. And I was like, no. And she was telling me what they were having her do. And I had to like really put my foot down of, while you're working with me doing this 3-month program, this is what I need you to follow. And if they can't follow it with you, then you need to put that on pause until we're done, because I can't guarantee your results if you're stressing your body out working with this trainer. Like, mm-hmm. and it's actually, the trainer was getting kind of interested on what we were doing, right? And was actually really compliant and helpful of supporting her in the way that I requested that she got support. So that was, how, you know, hopeful. But in the beginning, I was just like, oh God, no.
Yeah. I mean, having been in the fitness industry for a long time with various aspects of my career, it's, yeah, you have some trainers who are like balls to the wall. This is what we're doing, you know, like just push, push, push. And then you do have some folks that do get it and are truly interested. And that's when, I mean, that's huge. And so that's awesome that she had that support, because unfortunately, that is not very common in the industry. And so that is good. That is good. So is your program basically like walking and movement and slow movement, and then it ramps up and then?
Yeah. I mean, for the first 3 months, I basically tell people that, you know, here's where you're going to live: yoga, stretching, lightweight resistance and walking. Like that's kind of really all I want you to do for the first 3 months while we're rebuilding your adrenals, balancing your hormones, getting your detox pathways open, you know, type of thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, it's something that we all have to be thinking about. And actually, like anybody who's listening says, if you're thinking about hiring a trainer because you aren't happy with where your health's at, think about the basics first. Like if you're not detoxing well, if you're not, you know, digesting food well, a lot of the training efforts are not going to pan out like you want them to.
Oh, absolutely. It's actually going to be massively counterproductive and put you so far behind. So around that same time, I also used to do spinning classes because again, I had just had a baby and I was 250. And so I started spinning classes and I would come home and sleep for 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes after those spinning classes. And my ex-husband's like, what the hell's wrong with you? I thought exercise was supposed to energize you. And I'm like, I don't know, but I literally could not function. I would just come home and crash for a couple hours. And it was just because, again, I was my adrenals that were already dead. You know, I was whipping them even more during the spin class. And so when I got done, the stress level was just insane. And my body's like, and you're done.
Yeah. No, it's, I hear that from people too. Like, more often than not after the gym, it's like nap time and then they can't sleep at night. So it's like this whole like, dang, like what in the world kind of situation. Now, one of the things I did want to ask you about, because you have the history of being a hairstylist and so many people, myself included, I mean, there's no joke, I dye my hair too. And my really good friend is who takes care of my hair. And there's certain brands that we use to try to help. And we've tried to use some of the cleaner brands and really struggled to get my hair the color I wanted it. And so I would love to know, what advice do you give to your clients who are like, look, my hair is gray, I don't want to be gray. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I turned gray and went, I'm going blonde, right? And I was blonde when I was younger. But anyway, the point here is, what brands should people be looking for? What types of salons should we, you know, obviously there's the Veda concepts and all these different things, but there's still some toxic stuff going on in that land, as I know. So where would you direct people? Like what kind of questions should they be asking their hairstylist? That kind of stuff.
That's a good question. Part of me though, like I'm kind of a diehard. I'm kind of a hardcore asshole. If you haven't quite figured that out yet. Like mm-hmm. Once I start going gray, I haven't colored my hair now in 10 years. I haven't worn nail polish or toe polish in probably 10 years. Mm-hmm. So the hair color thing, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
The darker ones have a tendency to have a lot more of like the cancer causing, you know, types of dyes in them. So the blonde, especially if you're highlighting and you're not getting it directly on your scalp, is definitely going to be a lot better for you if you can get away with that. But all over color is going to be the worst. But you're asking your salon if they're organic and looking for, you know, more non-toxic options, the cleaner options that you get. I'm honestly not up to date with the brands that are going on these days. Cause like I said, I have not colored my hair in 10 years. I'm very fortunate. And so far I have like two little gray hairs that come out the side and one on my chin. Oddly enough, I'm like, really, really? Okay. But yeah, so 44, you know, be 45 next year and just haven't had to worry about that. But I also told myself, because I've fought so hard to be healthy, that I wasn't going to let once it's time and I go gray, I'm going gray. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to dump. I've spent too much money, too much time to stay healthy. I personally can't do it, but yeah. That I'm not everybody's story, right? I was a tough one. I Hashimoto's, endometriosis, you know, celiac, Lyme disease, mold, heavy metals, cavitations, you know, the list went on and on. And so I've spent easily $60,000 to get my health back on track. Mm-hmm. So again, with like the reason why I don't eat certain food, you know, I'm not going to put certain toxins on my body either, but that's everybody's, you know, decision to kind of, you know, maybe you can clean things up so much in this area that you can have a little wiggle room in this area. That could be you. That's not me. So
I think that's a good point that you make. And it is something that, you know, I've kind of dealt with on my own. Cause yes, I don't do the hands, the fingernail stuff or the pedic mani pedis, you know, and here's the thing.
I miss cute toenails. That's the only thing I miss. I see somebody's red cute toes and I'm like, I miss my cute toes.
They are cute. They are cute. But here's what I see. As a naturopath, all the toenail fungus.
Oh,
folks, where do you think that toenail fungus came from?
Like, gross.
Sorry. That's where it's at. And so my mission is like, I never want toenail fungus. I got it once when I was about 20 years ago, when I went to a high-end salon for one of my friends' weddings, you know, and got my mani pedicure done. And then I got the freaking toenail fungus. I was like, I will never do this again. And so it's one of these things, like I will see chronic toenail issues. And so that's kept me from doing, you know, and just being a hands-on practitioner, I didn't do that as much, but the hair has been something new as I started going gray. But honestly, this summer, I haven't had my hair colored in 3 months right now. And I'm looking at it and going like, you know, I don't think it's that bad, but the point here is, you know, for folks who are listening is that yes, just like Heather said, some of us have some wiggle room. I believe that I probably had a little wiggle room, but I'm starting to believe that the cleaner that I can keep myself, the better it's going to be. So y'all are going to start to see the real hair coming through.
Well, and there's a awesome, I've been working with the DNA company and I love, love, love running their DNA lab, and it'll tell you what your toxic bucket is like. And so I just went through these results with a client of mine and she's kind of like me. I'm like, girlfriend, you're going to have to walk that straight and narrow line for the rest of your life. Like, this isn't just a clean yourself up for 3 months and then go back to your old lifestyle, because you're going to end up with all your old symptoms back, just like I did when I relapsed. So also, you know, maybe that's a good thing to look into, to kind of see, look into your genetics, look into your DNA and see if you've got a bucket like mine. Same thing with mold. Like I don't detox mold properly. It gets into my body and it doesn't get tagged for, you know, expulsion. It just recirculates. So like I said, I don't wear perfume. I don't have scented stuff in the house. I haven't in years. And now it makes me absolutely sick when I'm around people who wear perfume and smoke. Oh my God. I'm definitely that ex-smoker Nazi.
Oh my gosh. I used to get in arguments with my mother when I was a teen about going to church. And I would tell her, like, she thought it was me not wanting to go to church, but honestly, like, I wanted to barf with all of those different perfumes at church. I would be like, Mom, look, like, it's not church. It's like, I literally feel so sick that I can't be in there. And she kept thinking that I was trying to ditch out all the time. And then she finally, at some point, like, really started to understand, like, when we would be up at the makeup counter at the grocery, or not the grocery store, at the mall. And I'd be like, and like, I literally did almost throw up on her once. And I was like, what finally got her to be like, oh, maybe my daughter's a little sensitive to this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, yes, perfumes. I would say some of my folks out there who have been the sickest really were loving their scented everything, like lotion and perfumes and things. And I'm not talking scented with essential oils, guys. I'm talking like, right. Perfumes and like fragrance and artificial fragrances and things. These are things you really want to look at your labels. What is your advice to folks, Heather, for folks that are looking at labels? Do you send them to environmental working group? Do you like?
Oh, absolutely. I love the EWG. Love, love, love it. You can type anything in and look to see, you know, I recently switched. So I guess the hair stuff I've gotten away from, the makeup stuff. I haven't. And so like, I do use like Arbonne, it's an MLM, which I'm not a big fan of, but you don't have to treat it that way. You can actually just buy products from them. And I've looked up not all their products are okay. But the stuff that I use is on the cleaner side. And then I also have another company I work with called Pure Haven that I have an account with. And that's where I get a lot of my other like deodorant and cleaning supplies and hair stuff. You know, obviously something with the least amount of ingredients is the better. And if you can pronounce it, even better. But if you're confused, because again, to be an expert in all these different topics sometimes can be mind-blowing. And that's why there's such beautiful resources like the EWG that you can just plug something in and see where it's at on the toxic level. But just at a glance, like if I'm picking something up and it's got an ingredients list that long, you know, I'm typically putting it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Pure Haven. I've not heard of them. Is this also an MLM or is this a different, it's like it encounter all the different, I mean,
it
is what it is.
Yeah. I've started using their skin stuff about 6 months ago and oh my God, I'm in love.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. You wouldn't know it because I don't wear a lot of makeup. It just makes me itch no matter what. I've tried so many different brands. I've tried Arbonne, things of that nature. But what gets me with it is I love the skincare stuff, which you wouldn't know since I have so many wrinkles, but I refuse to do Botox. I just love the sun. I am a sun whore, and that's me.
Oh my God. I was out in it today, butt ass naked in my backyard. I love every day. I try to do at least 20 minutes every day.
And interesting, folks, you hear how she said she's naked out back. Like, I know that some of us don't have that situation, but like that you could do that. But like having the whole skin, I think having the whole body exposure is huge for us to get to that, you know. And I'm not saying go out between 12 and 3, you know, I'm talking about during the more minimal hours.
Of I go out at 10 a.m. I usually don't go out past 10 a.m. because I just sweat too much. I've taught my body how to sweat for the first time in my life, which is awesome. But at the same time, like if you're getting ready for the day, you don't want to go out there at 1 and just sweat buckets and have to redo your hair and your makeup and take a whole nother shower again. And it's just too intense and the whole, you know, cancer and all that fun stuff. So no, I usually try to do it between 10, 11:30, or if I can't get it done then around 3 or 4, you know, but just not during that really intense period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the time frames I've been trying to work on and being better about it. Because I think I would say, you know, with me, in full disclosure, I've said it probably a million times on this podcast, is my vice is the sun. I love the sun. It's the only time that I truly feel warm. And I think that has a lot to do with thyroid stuff. It has a lot to do, you know, and if anyone else resonates, you know, it is something to think about. But just thinking about the timing that you're going out and back to my skin. I mean, the reason I have wrinkles is because I have spent an enormous amount of time in the sun. And yes, in the mountains in Colorado, where did I put sunblock on? No, of course not. Why would you do that? And goggle, tan, and like the whole nine. But the point here is the cleaner the products that go on your face, the better things are going to be. And I, you know, I absolutely, yes, MLMs can be annoying, but I do find that some of them do have higher quality products, you know, out there, and it is what it is. Also with me, I'm a little bit of a skincare junkie with like aesthetics and like cleaning the skin and masks and things of that nature. And there's a lot of great companies out there too that are becoming more and more aware of what's going on in that department. Do you have any that you particularly, or any aesthetics products that you particularly recommend for people at all?
Everything I get is from Pure Haven. So I get all my skincare, hair care, body care from Skin Haven or Pure Haven. And then the makeup I get from Arbonne, but yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think a lot of folks, you know, will ask me from time to time, because my clinic in Tacoma, we did a lot of skincare for a long time. I was doing PRP and microneedling, and obviously PRP, you got to have clean blood if you're going to do platelet rich plasma and put it onto your face. So this is something for the detox thing. Have you ever played with that?
No, it sounds fascinating.
It is, but definitely, like I said, working on making sure your blood is clean. Meaning, folks, if you are still working on detoxing, working on cleaning up your lifestyle, you want to be at least clean for at least 6 months before you even consider doing the PRP with microneedling. But anyway, the point is I'm always looking for aesthetics lines that are clean. I've used clinical lines that are pretty darn clean, but there are some intricacies within them where there are certain things that just don't meet the mark, like you were saying with New Haven. I mean, I like is clinicals, and I also like the brand Eminence. I can never say that one right, but they all have different layers of things that you want to be thinking about, and Lyra is another one. So just to throw that out for you guys while we're talking about beauty and things of that nature.
Absolutely.
So the last but not least thing that I'm going to talk about, since we're on kind of like the looking good kind of side of things, is clothes. What are you recommending for folks that they look at when they go to purchase clothes and in what realm?
You know, that's not something I really get into during the program, because I mean, really within a 3 to 6 month program, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, especially someone who's been sick for decades, like there's really only so much bandwidth before they go, fuck it, I can't do this anymore. So it's not something I go into with folks, but it is something that I might actually make I did do a bonus video on toxins, and it might be just another bonus thing that I throw in the end of like, okay, you're done, and here's just one more piece to look at.
Yeah.
Because polyester and a lot of this synthetic fabric crap is like putting a nicotine patch directly on your body. Like this stuff gets you, same thing with your laundry detergent and fabric softeners. So clothes is a huge deal and a very large source of toxins. I used to be such the, like the polyester, you know, I was the businesswoman's, you know, I was in sales and hairstylist. And so I never understood why, God, they would make me stink when I would sweat, right? That synthetic, ugh, that sharp. But now as much as I possibly can, especially my underwear, especially my bras, like they're starting to show that a lot of synthetic crap that are on your boobs and the increase with breast cancer, right? So I definitely started doing a research and looking for organic cotton, you know, bras, underwear, you know, shirts. So even like when I'm at home, you know, once in a while, I still have some of that flashier, you know, material because I'm, you know, I got to dress up and look the part. It's just part of it. But for the most part, like 80% of the time, I'm wearing all cotton or all hemp or all bamboo. Actually, they're starting to find out that bamboo is not as clean as you would think, because if you think about all the process bamboo has to go through in order to make it soft fabric, right? Think about that. The more something has to be broke down and chemically processed, the less clean it's going to be. So I take that back. I try to stick to like hemp or cotton.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I wanted to see what your opinion was on that, because I've also started to kind of go that route too, you know, slowly but surely. I was kind of the kid that was like going and buying resale stuff a lot, just because that was my jam. And of course, washing it really well, because don't just buy something from a resale shop and just wear it. Most people don't, but unfortunately, a lot of people will buy something from the store and then put it on. You guys, that stuff has formaldehyde on it. Like, no. Inflamed you, or and some people will catch that connection, be like, oh man, I always flare when I get a new outfit, you know. Or there'll be that question like, I think I got something new. What did I get new in my world? Oh, is this new, you know, jacket or new whatever? Because sometimes you don't think about washing jackets. But yeah, all of that stuff has formaldehyde on it and other chemicals, pesticides, things of that nature. You have no idea, just because critters like material and they like to eat it.
So sometimes you even got to go one step further, like go look at how down is harvested. You talk about jackets, like I had to really boycott anything. They have like sustainable or what they call cruelty free down. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you, oh my God, I think if people knew sometimes where a lot of this shit comes from, that's what would put it out of business for forever. Like the way, oh my God, the way they treat those animals to get that. It's so cruel beyond any cruel. It's horrible and it's not necessary. Right. But so I digress. So I even go sometimes one step further than what's good for me, but also what's good for the planet and what's good for the environment and what's good for all beings all around. You know, we really do have to look at the whole picture. As hard as that can be sometimes, as overwhelming as it can be, but we're all connected. It's all connected, you know? So at some point you really do have to take that big step back and take a look at, okay, how is this affecting everything else?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely important and probably a great place to kind of sum up our podcast today in terms of taking everything into account, your whole environment, where things come from, how the things were treated. Because as we know, food, you know, whatever that animal ate, we're going to take in too. And so however they were treated, that energetics comes on you too. So you want to be thinking as a whole. And granted, all of this might have your head spinning and you might be like, oh, I don't know. But like Heather was saying at the beginning, one step at a time.
And one step at a time.
And that's why working with someone like Heather to help you to go one step at a time is going to be a lot better than trying to do this all on your own. Because I would venture to say that between Heather and I and all the research we've done, all the schooling we've had, we could streamline things for you so much faster just by letting you know kind of the ins and outs and all the
absolutely stuff. I have one client who keeps overwhelming himself, and it's because he keeps going out and researching other things than what I'm doing with him. And I'm like, dude, stop, right? Just stop. You're getting too many cooks in the kitchen. This is why you hired me. Let's keep it simple, right?
Yep. One step at a time, follow one program. Don't keep bouncing all over the place. I mean, it's the secret. You've got to focus on it. So Heather, thank you again for coming on for our series here of all the good value information. In particular today, I think this one's gonna be a really good one for ladies so that they kind of get the insight on how to, you know, work on your health, but also still look good at the same time. You don't have to give it up and go completely, you know, on a, the term that comes to me always is that granola. And I've been called granola before because of just not wanting to wear makeup.
Are you crunchy?
Yeah, granola and crunchy. And you know, here's the thing, you know, being healthy doesn't mean that you can't keep up all your style. You just got to find things that are a little less toxic for you. That's the MO. Thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it. We'll get this one out here soon and looking forward to future chats with you.
Thanks so much. I love being on here with you. You ask all the awesome questions and just, it's just great. It's just awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.